along with announcements made, I want to welcome each of you here this morning. And as the one leading the study, we want you to know how much we appreciate your interest in spiritual things. If you take your Bible this morning and turn to 2 Chronicles 36, that's where we'll begin our study. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and if you will, begin reading with me at verse 11. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning at verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spake from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all of the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Then if you take your Bible for just a moment, look in the book of Jeremiah and the 52nd chapter. And when you read the words of the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 52, look, if you will, beginning at verse 8. Jeremiah 52, beginning at verse 8. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. All his armies were scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and he killed all the princes of Judah in Riblah. He also put out the eyes of Zedekiah and the kings of Babylon, bound him in bronze feathers, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison till the day of his death. You know, one cannot but be amazed at some of the signs that they see around. I remember not too long ago when I was in Nashville, I saw a sign upon a motorcycle that said, "Born to go to hell." Now, I thought about that sign, and I recognized that that sign is not true, that one is not born to go into the abode that God has created for the devil and his angels who've rebelled against him. However, I do believe it is true that some are determined to go to hell. Though they're not born to go there, though it's not God's desire for man to go there, I recognize that many are determined to go there. And there's a great difference between one being destined to go there and then one determined to go there. And what I'd like for us to do is to take our Bibles this morning and look in 2 Chronicles 36. And I believe that there are at least four things that stand out about the man identified as Zedekiah. Zedekiah was such a person who was determined to rebel against God. He was determined to go to hell. And at the age of 21, he was a man who was put into a position of authority. He was a man whose great-grandfather was godly. He was a man who had many advantages of knowing the truth as Jeremiah the prophet of God spoke to him. But this man was determined to not heed the word of God. He was determined to go to hell. Now, there are at least four things that we can find about that. If you take your Bible in 2 Chronicles 36, notice, if you will, that the Scripture says in verse 12 that this man did evil in the sight of God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet. If you take note of this man, he was a man who hardened his heart. He was a man that did not heed the wisdom of God, the Word of God. But when the Word of God was spoken, that man hardened his heart. First, take note when you look in your Bible that when God looked down on this man in verse 12, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, that's the first thing I want to bring to your mind. This man did not care that God witnessed his evil deeds. This man didn't care that God could see him. This man lived in open rebellion before the eyes of God. Here was a man that did evil in the sight of the Lord, and every time he considered God, if he ever did, he did not care that God was witnessing his rebellious attitude and his wicked deeds. Here was a man that did not care that there is a holy God in heaven who is sovereign and on high. Here was a man that did not care that God is the judge of all man's deeds, that he is the creator of man. And here was a man that hardened his heart. When people do not care about God and the fact that God is witnessing their deeds, they harden their hearts. And I'll tell you one thing about an individual. An individual who does not fear God and does not consider the holiness and majesticness of God is an individual that will harden their heart, and they're determined to go to hell. Though God may plead with them, and though God may look down upon mercy with them, they have determined they will reject God. Now then, that's the second thing you'll find in verse 12. Not only did this man do evil in the sight of the Lord, but notice something else. The Bible said he did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. Here was a man who didn't care that God saw his wicked deeds, and here is a man that rejected God's word. God had prophesied through the prophet Jeremiah that this man should heed his word. He should surrender lest the city be destroyed. And yet this man rejected God's word through God's man. Here he had been hearing Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah had been bringing the message from God. Jeremiah is telling him that you need to heed God's word. You need to obey God lest this happen. And this man would not surrender. This man would not humble himself. Though God was speaking through the mouthpiece of Jeremiah, this man was determined to do his own thing. He rejected God's word. He built up pride in his heart. He said, I don't need to answer to God. I don't answer to anybody. I'm the king. I'll do what I want to do. And you know, my friend, that man rejected the word of God. You want to see a picture of someone who's determined to go to hell? They will reject God's authority. They reject God's word. They reject God's will. They reject God's way. They determine their way, their will, their word is more important than God. So if you want a picture of an individual determined to go to hell, look at Zedekiah. This man rebelled against God. He did not care that God saw his wicked deeds. And this man would not humble himself to God's word. But notice the third thing. He did not respect his own word. Look at verse 13. Not only did he rebel against God, but he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was king of the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were to come in, and they were going to take him. And he had made this vow to him. And in verse 13, after he made this vow to this pagan king, he's now going to go back on his word. And he's going to rebel against that word. So you find in Zedekiah a man who did not keep his word, did not keep his vow, a man who went back on what he said he would do, and he had no respect for anyone. Not only did he not respect the king of Babylon, he didn't respect Jeremiah. And not only did he not respect Jeremiah, he didn't respect God. So here was a man who wouldn't keep his word. Not only did he keep God's word, he wouldn't keep his own. But then if you take your Bible, notice something else about that man. Notice that he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart. Look in verse 13 again. He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Oh, look at that carefully. Notice that phrase, he stiffened his neck. This seems to speak of the yoke. Open your Bible to Matthew 11. When you come to Matthew 11, you remember Jesus makes that great invitation to come unto him, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. But then in verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, what's a yoke? Well, if you have oxen or if you had a mule, you'd put the yoke around the neck. And if you had two working together, they would bend their necks and go in the same direction. But if you have one that will not bend their neck and one that is stiff-necked, it's hard to get any work done. If you have one that won't work with the other. Well, here he is looking at an individual and he won't bend his neck to the authority of God. He has stiffened his neck. He's rebelling against God's authority. And notice, he refused to bend to God's will. But notice what else? He hardened his heart. You remember what Job said in the Old Testament? Job made the statement, "Who hath hardened himself against God and prospered?" Have you ever noticed the steps this man took? First, he didn't care that God witnessed his evil deeds. Then secondly, he rejected God's word. Third, he had no respect for his own word. And now he has stiffened his neck. And now he's gotten to the point, his heart is hardened. Here is a man determined to do his own thing. Open your Bible, if you will, to the book of Proverbs in the 29th chapter. When you come to the book of Proverbs and the 29th chapter, notice the rebuke of those who will openly harden their hearts. Look in verse 29. He who is often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now underscore that phrase, without remedy. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But here is an individual that has hardened his heart. And you know, my friend, there are a lot of people like that young man. They are determined to rebel. They're determined to go to hell. They're determined to not heed God's word. They're determined to live their life in their own way. They're determined to stiffen their neck. But now then, if you take your Bible, go back to 2 Chronicles 36. And notice he did all of this, and notice what it caused in verse 14. It said, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord. Have you ever thought he influenced others? Have you ever thought here was a man, because of his attitude and his determination, he influenced others. And they, like he, began to stiffen their necks and harden their hearts and rebel against God. They became determined as he was to go to hell. But notice, if you will, in verse 15. They did this in spite of God's compassion. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because why? He had compassion. Have you ever thought that here were people that God showed compassion? You would think under these circumstances that God would just slam the door and say, go to hell. But no, God is sending messengers. And God is warning them of what's going to happen if they do not come back to him, if they do not soften their heart, if they do not bend their neck to his will. God is warning them, and God is pleading with them, and God is saying, come back. He is showing compassion. And I want you to think about, he had compassion by sending people to preach the truth to them. And I've often wondered if we will ever realize the compassion of God. From Adam all the way to us, all have sinned, and yet we still behold the great compassion of God. Have you ever thought about God's great compassion? That God is willing to take us back? Really, I look at that in recent days, and I stand amazed at the compassion of God. You know, sometimes you'll see an individual, they may forgive you once, but they won't forgive you twice. I'm thankful God's not. That God is willing and God is ready to pardon. And God shows compassion to his people. That when God looks down, he sends warnings to us. He sends individuals to preach. He sent his word. He has sent everything we need to know to soften our hearts. And may I say to you with all kindness and all candor today, if the cross doesn't soften our heart and his word doesn't soften our heart, then we have determined ourselves to harden our hearts, and we've determined go contrary to. I don't see how we can look at the cross and our hearts be hard. When you think about His Son dying for your sin, if that doesn't soften your heart, there's something wrong with your heart. And yet, my friend, some people just have determined that nothing's going to change the way they live. They're going to do their thing. And yet, my thing, when you think of the passion and compassion of God and people still determined to go to hell. But look in verse 16. Notice in verse 16 the abusement of mercy. Notice that God sent messengers to warn them because He was showing compassion. And look at what happens in verse 16. They mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets. Oh, look at that. How did they abuse this mercy? They mocked the messengers of God. They despised His word. You know something this morning? You recognize that there are some people that when they hear preaching, all they think about is how they want to roll their eyes and just disregard what God has said. There are a lot of people today that do not care what God has declared in His Word. And they abuse His compassion. They abuse His mercy. There are some people that have a form of religion, but they deny the power behind it. Open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah for just a moment and the 36th chapter. When you come to the book of Jeremiah and the 36th chapter, if you will, look at verses 22 and 23, or 23. Let's look at verses 23 and 24. Remember, here is somebody else that Jeremiah had prophesied to. And notice when Jeremiah came and he prophesied to this individual what this individual does. In verse 23, it happened when Judah had read three or four columns that the king, this is Jehoiakim, cut it with a scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king, nor any of his servants who heard all these words. Now you look at that. Here was a king that took a penknife and cut out what he didn't like of God's word. There's people that do that today. You know, you preach on hell, that's not a popular subject. You preach on hell, people don't want to hear about it. And what a lot of people do is just cut that out of their Bible. You can preach about God's mercy, and you can preach about God's warning, and you can preach about what God expects of man. A lot of people don't want to hear it. But you know, my friend, you can't cut out what God has said. You can't take away His authority. Open your Bible for just a moment in the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter. When you come to the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter, look at what's said in verse 29. When Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, what does He call them? Hypocrites. Why? Because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Yet they would be. Ever thought about people who mock the message of God? You know, I ought not be surprised, even in Shelbyville, Tennessee, when they say, get off our backs, leave us alone, don't preach to us anymore. I want to tell you something. There used to be a day people had respect for Christians and for preachers and for elders. That ain't today. And I'm going to tell you something. I have been mocked in my days of preaching. I've been belittled. I've had people threatening to whip me. I've had a man want to hit me so bad he didn't know what to do. And I'll tell you, that shouldn't surprise me. I hear people say that in our day we don't suffer persecution. We don't suffer it like they did years ago. But I want to tell you, it could be coming. And I want to raise the question to you, are you surprised when people mock at God's Word and they make fun of the preaching of the Word of God? I ought not be surprised when we suffer as a Christian. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:16, the time will surely come. Because there are a world of people out there who are determined to go to hell and they don't care what we say to warn them against it. And I'll tell you what hurts me. You may not care if it hurts me, but I'll tell you what hurts me anyway. There's some here who've heard the truth. They know what they need to do to make their life right. They've heard about God's grace. They've heard about God's mercy. They've heard about what God has done to redeem them of their sin. And they've yet to make the changes they need to. I want to know, are you determined to go to hell? Are you determined to just do your thing? Are you determined to ignore all God's pleas? Because look at what he says back in 2 Chronicles 36. There'll come a day that mercy will be exhausted. Look again at verse 16. And verse 16 reminds us of what he said in Proverbs 29:1. When he says, until, look at that last line, the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was what? No remedy. The final thing in our study is the fact that God said there will be no remedy. Now listen to that. There will come a time when his mercy and patience is exhausted. There is coming a time when the door of mercy will be closed. And you know what, my friend? Some people just won't believe it. I'll never forget a man one time that I talked to about his soul. And he said, you know, preacher, I'm a good man. I don't go out and do a lot of bad things. And he said, you want me to become this Christian and you want me to go to services? He said, let me tell you what's probably going to happen on the judgment day. God will see me. God will slap me a few times for the way I live. And he'll say, get in here. I said, where's that in the Bible? I wanted to slap him, but that didn't help nothing. I want to tell you something. Just because that's what you want to believe doesn't make it true. Some things are true whether we believe them or not. And God has said he will judge. Open your Bible to Matthew 25. Let God's Word explain it to you. Don't believe me. Look at what God said. In Matthew 25, verse 41. The day will come when God's mercy is exhausted, when He will say to those on the left hand, depart from me. Now watch it. You cursed. Now the only reason you stayed that way, He came to remove the curse. He sent His Son to take away the curse of sin. But when you stay in contrariness to God, when you stay in rebellion to God, when you reject God's pardon, you reject God's plea, you continue your way, then you're going to stay cursed. And he says, he'll go into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know what that everlasting means? It'll never end. That doesn't mean he's going to slap you a couple times and say, get in here. That means he's going to say, get out. Depart. And once you're in hell, no prayer, no repentance, no obedience will ever get you back in the presence of God. He's made his plea. He's shown compassion. He's shown mercy. But if you're determined to go to hell, he'll let you go. I wish I knew what to say to make people determined to want to go to heaven. Because I'll tell you something. There are a lot of people who are just determined to go to hell. You weren't born to go to hell. God help you if you're determined to go to hell. I want to tell you something. I can't make you live your life right. Nobody here can make you live your life right. Even God doesn't make you. He's done everything He can to beg you to live your life right. What more could God have done to show His love than what He's already shown? But if you're determined to go to hell, may I ask one request of you? Leave my family alone. I want them to go to heaven. And don't be using your influence to these people here who are trying to get their life right. I beg of you, if you're determined, leave them alone. Some people are just determined to get their way. They'll even use God and manipulate God's Word to get their way. I'll tell you, you may be determined to lose your soul. I'm determined to go to heaven. And God has done everything so that I can and you can. And if you're here and you need to be obedient, you need to be baptized into Christ to have your sins blotted out, or if you need to be restored to God, He has made every provision so you can go to heaven. You don't have to go to hell. You weren't born to go to hell. God help anyone not to be determined. Why don't you come together? We stand and sing.
I gave you the wrong number a while ago. It's 322. 322.